Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Cindy Williams. She is the executive director of the Carpenter Contractor Trust. Cindy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Now, a couple of things to start. First, about the organization, the Carpenter Contractor Trust is a labor management organization of union carpenters and contractors in six states?
Yes, in six states.
All right. That's 41,000 union members and thousands of contractors. You're based in Philadelphia. You have an office in Edison, New Jersey. Is all
correct.
Of that correct?
Yes, you did your homework. Thanks.
Yep. Good. Got it.
Thanks for saving those stats.
Okay. Second, this is Women in Construction Week, right?
Indeed.
Indeed. And March is Women's History Month. And March 8th, Friday, March 8th, we're talking on Wednesday of that week, is International Women's Day. So I really can't think of a more appropriate guest for today than you. So thank you for doing and appreciate it.
I appreciate it as well.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some of those things, but first I want to hear a little bit about your history. As I understand it, you've been a carpenter for 25 years, and I'm curious about how that happened. That was back in 1999. What got you into the business? Did you feel like a pioneer? What was going through your mind back then that said, you know what I really want to do is be a carpenter and join the union?
Yes, yeah. So none of that, and it was just a really wild journey. 25 years ago, I was a kid that, you know, went through Catholic school. So we didn't even have an idea of what a vocational school looked like in my framework. And, I really just, as corny as it sounds, I would come home from school and watch This Old House on PBS. And I just thought it was the most fascinating show. And I really geeked out to it, and nowadays, there's a show on every channel, right? But at the time, that was the only one. And so my sister and I lived in a house of five kids and an Irish Catholic background. And, you know, we essentially made havoc of the house, you know, while we grew up. So one summer we decided we wanted to wallpaper, do things around the house to impress mom and dad. And it just turned into a desire to want to learn more and maybe even get into the idea of flipping homes, just watching the shows that I watched on PBS. So long story short, I called a vocational school and they gave me a blind tip of, hey, why don't you get into the union? They'll put you through school for free. So at the time, again, I had no one in my family that was in the trades. Most of my friends and folks that I knew were heading off to college. And, you know, I knew college was in my future, but I didn't know if that was the track I was going to head down right away. So I went out, called the vocational school, moved on into getting into an interview to come into apprenticeship. And that was really the start to a journey that I had no idea about. So, you know, from going into apprentice, working on job sites in the state of New Jersey that were high profile, anywhere from college universities to bridges. I've done a lot of work in schools. You know, some of the things that carpenters do on the union scale is really quite large. So I got pushed into something that I had no idea, you know, I'd be building homes, but really that was the start of my journey. Was a blind tip from a gentleman, thankfully, from a vocational school that was, you know, active in promoting unions. And so that was where I got my start. But 25 years since, you know, I worked in many roles in the Carpenters Union leading to where I am now. And I can go in depth or as just brief as you like about that. But certainly it's been a wonderful, wonderful 25 years with the Carpenters Union.
All right. But did you ever do the kind of renovation that Bob Vila would do on This Old House? I mean, have you done that kind of work? You did?
Yes,
oh, good.
I did.
Okay.
So the cool part about it was I had mentioned, hey, where are the houses? And they laughed and said, don't worry, we don't do housework here. But everything you learn is plumb level square, which can be applied to a home, right? So I've gone down the journey of flipping homes on the side while I worked in commercial construction, you know, during the week. And so I have had the opportunity to do some home flipping and be a landlord and do some of those side business things that were really just helping me to get a leg up and buy a home early in life, which was amazing. You know, so yes, the answer is yes. And probably one of the only women on the job site way back when, right?
Well, that's the next question. You anticipated the next question. That is, over the 25 years, what's the biggest change in the industry? I just from my conversations with folks in the business now, it's not that unusual now to see women on a job site. I'm guessing it was back then somewhat unusual. Is that the biggest change you've seen? If not, you know, what have you seen over the last 25 years that stands out to you?
So, you know, what I can say about my organization with the Carpenters Union and just being a part of the union, it's been an incredible journey. But yes, when I came in 25 years ago, there were a few handful of women that were there on the job site. And those were the mentors that I gravitated towards. But, you know, the ratios were a lot smaller then. I would say now we have been on a progressive track in many ways, which I could talk to on workforce development, on how we bring in more women into the industry, how we support women in the industry. But yes, back then it was a few of us that were just trying to make it through. It was an atmosphere that is definitely not cut out for everyone. And in construction, we all have that idea of how rough it is out there. It was certainly, right, you know, a tough career to choose, right? But the pioneers and the women that decided to do it were not only the best of the best in the industry, they were relied upon. You know, our skill set is a different mentality from a men's skill set. So I would like to say that they were meticulous about their job. So they really were sought out in so many ways to become the folks that were doing some of the cleanup work, some of the finish work, some of the punch list work. But, you know, definitely, you know, I've learned from the best throughout my career.
Okay. And I'm guessing, though, that now you talk to young women who are thinking about going into the business. What do you tell them? I mean, I also, again, from my conversations of others in the industry, I think that women who are interested in doing this don't have to rely on a random tip like what you got. That there are apprentice programs or all sorts of things. Where would you tell someone to start to look if they wanted to get into the business?
That's a great question. So one of the things that I do in my current role is really making sure that my team helps connect on the workforce development side. So there's many things that we do currently that we didn't do before to women specific. So there's a few different things I want to talk about. And one is connecting to high schools, career counselors, going to these career fairs to get out there with the word that apprenticeship is a viable opportunity for folks that don't know if they want to necessarily take the track of college. And, you know, nowadays it's the narrative. Skilled trades and work in skilled trades it should be a household.
Absolutely.
Right. Especially with college and not the guarantee of careers when they get out, you know, the college debt and unsurmountable debt that folks are going through those issues. Now more than ever, skilled trades and work in those fields are coveted. Right. Mm-hmm. So especially in the Carpenters Union and other unions alike, where it's our recipe is fair, livable wages, right? People can have a career in construction in the Carpenters Union and live and have a great health benefit package, retirement, et cetera, all those wonderful things, right? But what we've done over the years as a union is providing the connection for, say, women, right? Because this is the topic here, where women, it's called the Sisters in the Brotherhood. We collectively came together and formed a group that supports women in construction and talks about the issues or even just the support that is needed for women to thrive in construction, right? So a lot of that is mentoring, it's leadership skills, it's you know, educational series that will just help folks to feel like they belong, right? Finding a sense of belonging in the industry. So those are all programs that have been established and set up in the years of, I would say, 15 plus years for the Carpenters Union, where we have these services for women, which is wonderful. You have to connect on that mentorship level in order to be able to make it, right? So, but nowadays we have programs that I'm so proud to promote. It's called the Carpenters Apprenticeship Ready Program. And that is a pre-apprenticeship program that's free to individuals that are taking it. It's a 10-week Saturday program that is offered in communities. It's offered in the state of New Jersey and other states alike, where we bring in either minority or women into this pre-apprenticeship and teach them without any fees. They've actually get stipends and we help support them with tools sometimes and be able to help them to learn the craft of carpentry without the commitment of saying, I will be an apprentice, right? It also gives the contractors the ability to look at an individual and just, you know, make sure that they're the right fit, which is wonderful. And so those programs are out there. New Jersey's got, I want to say they did 4 cohorts of it last year statewide, and also have committed to do many more in this coming year. But it's just a great way to come back and connect to community and be able to do outreach on behalf of, you know, people that look like you and me in the community.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you about the apprenticeship programs in general. Again, heard a lot about that. I'm curious as to whether you think that there are enough of those kinds of opportunities available now, or whether schools, government should be doing more to create these kinds of programs. Is there sufficient resources now being put in place for these kinds of things?
So I believe,
again, our focus is New Jersey. I know you have six states that you're concerned about. We'll talk about, you know, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and the area that you're most familiar with.
Sure. And I'll stick to New Jersey because I kind of prepped knowing that this is a Jersey-based podcast, and, you know, happy to do so. But I think, you know, my short answer is I believe we have vehicles in place, you know, especially through skilled trades. You know, people are investing lots of money into apprenticeship, in the collective of apprenticeship. We certainly contribute thousands of dollars for each apprentice that comes and walks through the doors. And that's all free training for them to come in. We have over 1,100 apprentices statewide in New Jersey that are coming through the ranks and hoping to become a journey person one day. But that is all free education to them. The short answer to that is, we have the vehicle to do it. We'd even like to take more in. We have denied about 8,000 applicants in the state of New Jersey and Philadelphia alike because we don't have the proper job sites to attach them to, right? So the need and the programs are there. I think the harder conversation to have is job sites that are paying livable wages. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate. Reality of construction and the construction industry is, especially on private work, owners and developers are in that race to the bottom, if you will, that unfortunately becomes an issue where folks that are on those job sites sometimes are unfortunately in this system where they're not making enough money, they're having to rely on public assistance. It's an unfortunate situation, but it's a reality that the construction industry faces where there's wage theft and tax fraud and issues within the construction industry that need to be tackled. And certainly there's stop gates out there that are trying to work on these issues, but I think the laws just need to be, the laws need to be implemented and folks need to have more task force ability. And, you know, the truth is we would love to have as many that can come in, but we also have to viably have them have a career to stick to, right? So having the workforce is one thing, but having the job to tie them to is another.
Okay. Now, and going back to women who are starting out interested in getting into the business, you mentioned guidance counselors. When I talk to folks, like, for example, in manufacturing, where where they also are trying to build up an apprentice, a robust apprentice program to get folks into that industry, they run into some resistance from guidance counselors and other kinds of advisors in high schools in particular, where the default position has always been, we're going to push you into some sort of college track. Do you find the same thing that they're finding in that instance? And is there resistance that you feel like you have to overcome, or at least just educate these people on the notion that there is a viable career path here that doesn't require a college or need not require a college degree?
Yes. So there historically has been issue with getting in and talking to counselors.
Right.
I think I would say in probably the past 5 to 7 years, the conversation is starting to change.
Okay.
I also know that the carpenters, and I'll just speak to the carpenters union, developed a curriculum that's high school based. And it's a curriculum that is a segue and feeder to college credits. And so folks that are going through this program can have access to a certain amount of credits in their high school years and then also be applicable to their apprenticeship, right? Which leads to associate's degrees and higher education. And that's exciting to parents, right? So this curriculum has been implemented in high schools. It's in many high schools in New Jersey and a lot of the vocational schools, and they're already starting to take advantage of them. And so the conversation has now changed to, because we realize, and we also value the education portion of what college provides and offers. And to be honest, we want a skilled worker that's also a book smart worker as well, because we're coming into an age where that matters, right? We want the highest trained, the most skilled. So we believe in the higher education portion of it, right? So the more we can have that dialogue with parents, have that dialogue with schools, I think it's a viable option, because not only are they coming out of high school and then going to work right away, but they're also able to go into different tracks and be able to advance their college courses and be able to come out on the other side with potentially an associate's degree with a few extra credits.
Right. And to be clear, that's why I couched the question the way I did. I didn't want to sort of say college was, you know, it's either or. It could be both. It's not necessarily that you have to choose. Yeah, I'm going to go to college, or I'm going to do this apprenticeship and become a carpenter. You can do both.
Sure. Yeah. So definitely. And you know, we're working well with colleges, community colleges. Right. Thomas Edison State University is who's linked to us in New Jersey. But it's been a wonderful partnership, and certainly one that I back. I value, you know, I eventually went through the Rutgers program for labor studies, got my bachelor's. So I believe in the value of what you learn when you get to that higher place. And it doesn't have to be for everyone, right? But yes, you know, the quick answer is parents still want to hear value in college education, and we're happy to link up on that front.
Right. So how do you see the industry evolving? What can the folks who are getting in, the women and men too, as they get into the business, what can they expect over the next few years? Are you bullish on the way the industry is evolving and its future as let's talk just about the construction industry, and then I'll talk about the labor movement. But first, the construction industry itself. There's been a lot in New Jersey, a lot of activity. Are you seeing the same thing? Do you expect that to continue over the next few years?
I do. I definitely, especially with federal monies that are being released, the state also as well is supportive of programs with schools and higher ed. There's so much out there that is becoming available, and it is going to be a system where we are going to thrive and look for a workforce that is just ready and able to handle these projects, right? I just pulled up just a few in New Jersey, just to be mentioned. You know, the Gateway Tunnel just broke ground. The Portal Bridge is an $800 million project. Atlantic City Airport, $10 million. There's an infrastructure laboratory science that's $55 million. These are all federal dollars in Princeton that's coming up. Long Branch train station, you know, New Jersey Transit bus facilities for $50 million. The list goes on and on about money that's being released for these projects. So we're really happy, and this is an exciting time for us. I didn't even talk about the wind opportunity, right? You know, that is just in a category, it's all its own, and certainly New Jersey is leading the way.
And South Jersey in particular, with the wind port and everything else, all the other, the offshore stuff that's going on. So, yes.
Correct. And so, you know, one of the things that I wanted to tout and be proud of on the front of the Carpenters Union is that we allocated our training center down in South Jersey to support the whole wind initiative. We're hopefully going to be having a turbine there to be able to work on some of the installation and decommissioning, if you will, of turbines and just work in general. But we also bought a dive school that's going to service the industry, has the first GWO training offered, you know, and that's up and running already. We just had a ribbon cutting ceremony for some of the announcements in wind just last week with the NJBPU. Right. So we're really, you know, we put our money where our mouth was. We heard that there was this industry, you know, is coming to New Jersey off the shores. We've been all in and really just saying we are the trained workforce that you're looking for. So we're really there and making sure that folks know that we're dedicated to the training and making sure that folks are ready once it comes.
Okay. And labor unions in general, your union in particular, the narrative for the last several years, decades, in fact, has been declining membership. Unions are dwindling as a force. But on the other hand, President Biden touts himself as a union friendly, the most union friendly administration in history. What are your thoughts about where your union in particular and the union movement in general is going?
Sure, and I think it's also exciting times to be a part of the union movement as well, right? So I think, you know, obviously President Biden has called himself Union Joe and really has just bolstered and create opportunities for unions to thrive. But I'll also say that I feel, my personal thought is that COVID really showed an ugly side of business and really created the opportunity for folks to want to have representation due to all of the uglies that came out of COVID, right? So there's been a major uptick in union strength, solidarity, folks organizing contracts, issues with NLRB and, you know, all of those, you know, if you're in that world of understanding not only the issues, but the way the movement is moving in a progressive way. I think we're at 70% of Americans are in, whether they're in a union or not, are in support of unions, right? So mm-hmm. I think the narrative is changing, you know, as wage disparities show in our nation, and people are dealing with multiple jobs and trying to just create spaces where they have livable wages and can work a 40-hour work week and be okay. You know, I think that people are just on board. The whole ideas behind unions way back when was just to be able to give people the opportunity to live and then rest, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole Labor Day weekend is surrounding, you know, the founder of the Carpenters Union was the founder of the father of labor. He is.
Okay.
So I think my point is, I think the favor of unions is escalating. It's growing. There's more strength behind it. And I think people are, whether they're union or not, understand that it creates a level playing field for all that are out there in the workforce.
Okay. Well, and obviously there've been a lot of high profile organizing efforts. We've seen all of those, even in New Jersey. So I think you're probably right about that.
And they're coming every day, right? Yesterday, right. I just read something about Dartmouth basketball team is
exactly
forming union.
Right.
Right. And so you see it all the time. Yeah. That there's new topics and stories that come about all the time.
Okay. So what's the most interesting or the most challenging part of your role in the union now? You mentioned Sisters in the Brotherhood. By the way, we should say the Brotherhood is the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners. Am I right
yes.
about that?
Okay. Yes.
That's the Brotherhood we're talking about. What's the favorite part of your job? The most interesting, most challenging. What do you like about what you do?
So that's a great question. I thank you for asking that. So I didn't really go into the track of my 25 years of career, but what I want to say.
That's why I asked. Give you a chance to do that.
Yeah. So I went from apprentice that knew nothing and I barely knew how to read a tape measure to an executive director of the Labor Management Trust for the Carpenters Union, right? Mm-hmm. And so in that 25 years, I've been awarded the opportunity to grow, to have an organization that supports me through that growth. But not everyone's career has to stay right where it is, right? So I loved being a carpenter in the field. I've done so many wonderful projects that I would love to go back one day just to be a fly on the wall to jump in and do it again, right? But obviously that's harder to do with my current role. But I went on to do teaching, to teaching pre-apprentices and just got so much love for teaching. From there, I became a business agent for the Carpenters Union and just did, you know, work on behalf of the membership. You know, 41,000 members just trying to work day to day with both contractors and members to make sure job sites flow safely. Into my current role now, which is really exciting because I have seen all of the angles between training, between being on the job site, working for contractors. And I want to also say, without our contractors, we don't have work, right? So it's the partnership between the union membership and our contractors, our thousands of contractors that are out there. And that's what I do now is try to create those relationships within. So it's union leadership, it's membership, the folks on the job site, the contractor base, as well as training, right? Our apprenticeship training is our crown jewel. So from all of those four-legged stool angles, everyone has to work together in order for this to work and thrive, right? So it's so exciting for me knowing I've been on almost every angle, every side to understand where the pain points are so that I can help be a connector for everyone. And if there's reason to work things out, I usually know the source of where we can turn to be able to help, you know, create the conversation that's needed to be had, right? But I think the best part is that I get out there in the industry, I get out there on behalf of workforce development and communities and just talk about the advantages of having a career in unionized work, right? And in union construction, right? It's such a love of mine to be able to give those opportunities for people, and especially people that may not have the ability to pay for college, don't have that avenue. We connect to these communities and say, this is a viable option for you to consider, right? And so they can come right out of high school, making money on a job site, learning as they go, and be able to pay for their livable wages, their homes, their health benefits, et cetera. You know, I think I bought my house at 23 years old, perhaps.
Yeah, okay.
Where my friends were still kind of like living at home with mom and
right.
mom and dad, and you know, everybody's journey is what it is, but being able to give the vehicle to others that this is a pathway to success is incredible. And so I'm able to do that in a larger, you know, more aerial way, but I'm still learning how to connect in ways that are you know, advantageous for all of us, right? Because okay. together we thrive.
All right. Well, you can certainly hear the passion and commitment in your voice. So
you're
an excellent advocate. you've been generous with your time. Before I let you go, I have to ask about Women in Construction Week. What does that mean to you? What do you have any activities planned? How do you, what is Women in Construction Week and where do you go with it?
Yeah. So I'm glad you mentioned, I had the pleasure of being honored last year at Professional Women in Construction, which is an organization that just brings women together that are in the construction field. And it's just a wonderful a plug for them, because they're doing great things. But they had a forum at Princeton University just a few days ago, where they got together this week and kicked off Women in Construction Week. And, you know, it's one of those things in construction where you're surrounded by many men, and sometimes still even now, you're not around the energy of women, right? And so it's a nice way to come together, to have thought, to bring leadership, you know, to have conversations, and to be able to just come together and listen to other empowering women that just help you to elevate your careers and just to make network connections. And so that really was awesome for me to be able to do this past week.
Okay.
But I think Women in Construction is just to be celebrated, right? It's not a conventional career for a woman to consider, but it's lovely to see that there's more engineers coming out, there's more architects coming out, there's more people that are visible and seen on
right.
job sites.
Certainly.
And they don't have to be in the trades. Just collectively together, there's more women moving construction, and I'm so happy to see that, right? I'm so happy to see the gentlemen that are in the room that are there supporting the effort to make sure that diverse job sites are the best job sites, right? Because perspectives are really what makes inclusivity move, right? And so I just love the idea of, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion seems like it can be such a polarizing topic nowadays, but the reality is we are all human beings that are here together to try to create a better environment for all, right? And Women Construction Week is just a way to celebrate you know, our advancement over the years, right? Because 25 years ago, I may have only seen one woman on a job site, right? And
okay.
so that's just not the case anymore.
Okay.
So I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to say
okay. Great place to leave it. Thank you very much. Cindy Williams, the Executive Director of the Carpenter Contractor Trust. Easy for me to say. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I appreciate you.
And happy Women in Construction Week to you. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Thank you.